You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? And welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, March the 4th. And Dwayne Casey 2, Toronto Raptors 0. Give it to him two times today, Mason.
Detroit basketball! Detroit basketball! Ball.
And hey, I'm excited. I hope you guys are excited too. We deserve this. This is your boy Matt Shook, captaining the ship tonight, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press. A Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen and thanks for spreading the word. And welcome to the new listeners on the bandwagon this Monday, as I figure the numbers will probably be up after a big win, a big couple of wins for the Pistons over the weekend. But today we're going to recap a big Saturday and a big, even bigger Sunday, a big weekend for Pistons basketball. Feels big, right? We're also going to talk about where does this rank on wins of the year, specifically obviously talking about Sunday against the Toronto Raptors at Little Caesars Arena. I'll give my thoughts on that. Also going to make a little dig, talk about the coaching matchup, out with the old and in with the new for Toronto. Casey versus Nurse. A legendary grudge matchup, how that's going through two, tail of the tape. I think you already know how that's going. But also, we're going to get a little preachy on you guys at the end of the show. Sorry in advance for that, but we got to do it. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out on Facebook as well, at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But talking Pistons, man, 500. Never felt so good, right? 500 for the first time since December 26th, the day after Christmas. I was there when the Pistons beat the Wizards at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. But more currently, let's run through the weekend that was. This past weekend, Detroit smokes the Cavs on Saturday night in Cleveland. Of course, the fortunate turn of luck that both Kevin Love and Kawhi Leonard had rest days against the Pistons over the weekend. Not only that, but Kevin Love rested on Saturday so that he could help Cleveland on Sunday night top Orlando, helping out the Pistons in the playoff race even more. A little bit of charmed sense with this team as the playoffs approach. And again, apologies in advance for being overly enthusiastic, overly and positive about this. But hey, it feels good to be a Detroit sports fan, even for one day. Sometimes it's better to be lucky than, you know, whatever the Pistons are right now. Better to be lucky than that. Kind of good? I don't know. Pretty good? I don't know. I guess that remains to be seen. But it feels good in Detroit basketball land today. As we said, Saturday was an easy one, an absolute beatdown from start to finish. Really like we haven't seen all season. 129-93 against the Cavs, giving some key Detroit players rest, which they would need the following day against Toronto. 26 points from Luke Kennard off the bench, 6 of 7 from three-point land. Look, I'm not going to lie to you and say that I watched this game very closely. I was out, but and that's even more the reason why I was happy that it was a blowout. But I will say this. I watched Glenn Robinson late in the game. I thought he had decent minutes, played 14 minutes, 3 of 7 from the field, 6 points, but looked confident enough. And it was important for him to get out there in a game like this. That's why you need to blow teams out sometimes throughout the course of an NBA season. Get the rookies some run. Get Svi in there. Get Kyrie in there. The guys in the dumps right now, like Glenn Robinson III, John Luer, get them in there. Lift them up. Play them on the court a little bit. Glenn Robinson III came through with a decent stretch on Sunday as well when it was much more needed for the Pistons. And who knows if that would have happened without Saturday. And, of course, that story will continue to unfold throughout these next several weeks. But Reggie Jackson had 24 points of 9 of 11 shooting. An unfortunate number there, of course. But the continuation of a great run for Jackson. 15 points for Wayne Ellington. 14, 9, and 7 for Blake. A businesslike performance from a man who has meant all business so far this year for Detroit. But, God, I mean, the Cavs are just so awful right now. I tweeted out something like this game's over. I trash talked a little bit to the Locked On Cavs account when it was like 20, 25 early. And I was just confident. I was just watching this Cavs team, thought, oh my God. And they kept showing the crowd late in the fourth quarter, the crowd behind George and Greg after halftime, just seeing these people's miserable faces after paying some money to go watch this team in Cleveland right now. I mean, do you guys still want to tank after seeing that, after seeing this performance from the Cleveland Cavaliers? You want to sit through that for a few years? Go ahead and be one of the three worst teams a couple years. Go get a 14% chance of getting the top guy in the draft. Hope that it's not one of those Anthony Bennett or Michael Olowokandi or a Kwame Brown year or something like that. If that's what you want, hey, sure. I wish you good luck with that. But speaking of good luck, Toronto, no Kawhi on Sunday afternoon. Kawhi Leonard, by the way, a mid-first-round pick himself. The Pistons win 112-107 in overtime. Raucous crowd. I was not at the game. I was watching it at home in Royal Oak with my parents, actually. A raucous crowd, half Toronto fans, half Detroit fans, seem like, and according to the guys that were tweeting, the reporters tweeting from the game as well. And, you know, I thought back about this a couple times during the game. When the Raptors won in overtime last year against the Pistons with all the crowd that was going nuts at Little Caesars Arena, middle of the winter last year, DeMar DeRozan dunking on Anthony Tolliver, going full court. Really one of the most deflating losses from last year. I think Blake was on the team and he played well, but it just wasn't going to happen for that Pistons team on that night. But that was not the case this year, this time around on Sunday night in front of probably a similar type of crowd, maybe a little bit more Pistons fans, is maybe, who knows, maybe Detroit's catching a little bit of Pistons fever on these days. But Blake Griffin on Sunday, 27 points and 7 rebounds. Let me throw out another crazy thought here. Where is Blake Griffin on the MVP discussion? And I don't mean that in that he should be in that first tier. I know he's not in the first tier for the MVP discussion. Should not seriously be considered for the top three. And he won't win MVP, no doubt about that either. Don't get me wrong. But if there's a chance that he sneaks onto, say, like the number five spot in the ballots or the ballot count by the end of the season, unfortunately, he's a forward, so there's no real path for him to get on the first team All-NBA. Because you got Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's a forward, Paul George, who's a forward. I think those guys are almost locked into those spots at this point. But is it impossible that Blake Griffin, makes the second team All-NBA? Of course, it's forward, so it's really tough. You got LeBron, you got Kawhi, you got Kevin Durant. And I understand that it might even be ridiculous to suggest that, and I'm probably dreaming. But throw that in the back of your mind. Can Blake Griffin rise up to second team All-NBA? I mean, you feel like he's a solid third teamer right now, with whichever of those three that you don't like out of LeBron, Kawhi, and Durant. Probably LeBron, really, with the Lakers looking like they're not going to make the playoffs this year. But back to Sunday, 19 apiece for Reggie Jackson and Luke Kennard. Both of those guys, really the two of the three big parts of the second half of this season for the Pistons. Like I said, if the Pistons are going to become what this team could possibly come, and this isn't a championship team, this isn't obviously an Eastern Conference Finals team, but if they want to maximize their potential, Luke Kennard needed to be the solid number four on this team. He needed to get a lot of minutes, he needed to become a consistent offensive performer, and he needed to become good enough defensively. And I think we've seen that for a longer stretch than we've seen throughout his career, a positive development for Luke Kennard, a guy that I reamed out a few weeks ago, but not as much as the guy that I reamed out even more that episode, if you remember, after the Clippers debacle. Andre Drummond overcame foul trouble on Sunday for 15 points and 17 rebounds in a dominant 28 minutes of action. Two big free throws from him late. I'm not even today going to rag on him for the bad fouls in the first half and the brainless offensive foul to start the third quarter. Okay, well, maybe I just did rag on him a little bit, but we'll move on from there. A big three-pointer from Reggie Jackson in the corner in overtime was the biggest shot of the game. Wayne Ellington with a nice three of himself with about 3 minutes left in regulation. Just overcoming Kyle Lowry from three. He had 35 points. And notice that we saw Bruce Brown on the court late, which, again, I endorse that move. I feel like you need a little bit of D in that closing group. Maybe not every single game, but more games than not, I feel like you need his perimeter defense against some of those top players throughout the Eastern Conference playoffs. I would go with Bruce. I would go with either Kennard or Ellington, maybe based on who's playing the best, probably giving the nod to Kennard because you need that late-game development for him, which will be important for his career and the Pistons down the road. And of course, you got Reggie and Andre and Blake Griffin in that closing group. That goes without saying. But Jackson, you know, Reggie, he had a few bad plays down the stretch of regulation, the turnover, some fouls as well. But winning cures all those ails, no doubt about it. And sure, it was a stagnant offense late for the Pistons, but it would not be the NBA, and specifically not the Detroit Pistons with Reggie Jackson, if you didn't have some bad ISO defense late. Pistons, as you know, down now 31-31 in the season, 520 games to go. By the way, 5-4 when on the second half of back-to-back games, which is very good, including a three-game winning streak in such situations. Even better for the Pistons schedule-wise, it's worth noting that the Minnesota Timberwolves will be coming to town on Wednesday on the second half of a back-to-back themselves, as they will play Tuesday. The Pistons now in sixth place in the Eastern Conference alone. And yes, I did look at it. Just a mere six games behind the Boston Celtics for the fifth seed. Okay, now I'm dreaming. I'm going to hose myself off under this commercial break we're about to take. But if the playoffs started today, Indiana and Detroit in the first round, Pacers, yes, they're still holding on to that three seed, just a half game ahead of the Philadelphia 76ers. The Pistons themselves in sixth, a half game ahead of Brooklyn, who is in seventh, 2.5 games ahead of Orlando, now in the eighth spot, but tied in the standings with Charlotte there. So the Pistons are 2.5 games clear of non-playoff teams, with Charlotte being that ninth spot right now. So Pistons need to keep building that cushion. The schedule and opponents do get tough after this week, but three winnable games coming up here for Detroit. But up next, we're going to be talking about the coaching matchup. Dwayne Casey 2, Toronto Raptors 0. Also going to rank where this is in the list of best wins this season. But when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. You can get my voice taking you to work wherever you're heading on this day. And we also have an important favor to ask you. We would like your help. We've put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners like you and make your favorite Locked On podcasts even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and what you don't like. It should take about 15 minutes to complete, and by participating, you enter the chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. Just visit lockedonpodcast.com/survey to participate. I believe this is the last week that you have to do these. So if you've been thinking about doing it, please do it. Give your boy Matt some big ups. Get a chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card. Again, that's lockedonpistons.com/survey, and we appreciate your feedback.
Yes!
Now, a little bit later on, I'm going to get a little preachy, just forewarned about that, about some of the in-game behavior that maybe some of you have here. But hey, do me a favor and share this episode on your social media feeds. I would really appreciate that. I feel like we might have some bandwagon Pistons fans out there in the world today, so you might as well introduce them to the podcast on this Monday. I feel like it might be a good one. But hey, I was going through the schedule, wanted to give out my top 10 wins of the year for the Pistons and also maybe stack this one up where it would land. Going through the schedule, here's my honorable mentions. Here's three of them, by the way. We're just going to roll through these pretty quick. The rout of Miami last week in a big game down in Florida. The Blake game two against Chicago, the second game of the season. He had some big shots in the fourth quarter to win that one. And then the Boston win at home when Boston was on a back-to-back earlier this season. Kind of a desperate win because the Pistons were on a long losing streak at that time. So that's the honorable mention as I was kind of making the rough draft list. Number 10, I'm going to go with the Denver win. They had a couple guys out with injury, with Harris and Murray not playing in that one. But still, to beat the number one seed at the time in the Western Conference, a good win there. Number 9, I'm going with the Miami win at home after the Andre Drummond concussion. Zaza with the putback late to win that one. Number 8, the Thon Maker three-pointer in Atlanta the other day. Not higher just because it's Atlanta, but still a nice little shot to win towards the end of that game. Number 7, I'm going to go with the game at Minnesota, an unexpected comeback win in overtime for the Pistons there. By the way, I did not mention this earlier, and I usually do, this the upcoming schedule. The rematch with Minnesota is coming up on Wednesday in Detroit, and then the Bulls home-and-home series Friday and Sunday in Chicago on Friday, and then Sunday at LCA at noon. That's a noon tip-off, and that's after we're moving the clocks forward on Saturday night. So kind of like an 11 a.m. start. So that's a crazy one there coming up on Sunday. A big variable, which could be a problem. Just a variable that I wouldn't bet on that one, Degenerates. I would stay away from that one. But back to the list, number 6, I'm going, this is my own personal list. I'd like to hear your thoughts. I'm going with the win over Houston the night before Thanksgiving, I'm sorry, Black Friday, the night after Thanksgiving. Blake had the three to send that one to overtime. Pistons beat James Harden, Chris Paul, Clint Capella, and the Rockets. Number five, I'm going with Blake eviscerating his old team, the Clippers, the night before my birthday in kind of a late afternoon game in L.A., a much-needed win, more of a relief to get that one with the Pistons really struggling in the middle of January. Number four, we'll go with the win over the defending champs, Golden State, at home. Big win there, closing a big, long streak of wins there for the Pistons. Although, you know, the fact that the Pistons have beaten the Warriors a couple times over the past few years took a little bit of luster off of that one maybe than it would have otherwise. Number three, I debated between a couple for this one, and I think I'm going to go with today's game, the Sunday game at Little Caesars Arena against the Raptors, winning in overtime. I might have had this one at number two, but I think I'm going to go with number three. Number two, I'm going to go with the Philly overtime victory game, I believe, four of the season. Blake drops 50 on Philly, gets Joel Embiid, beats him there. I was at that game, a nice atmosphere early in the season at Little Caesars Arena. But number one, of course, I'm going with the Toronto win, the first one, the win on the road in Toronto, the unexpected comeback for the Pistons in the third and fourth quarters, capped off by a layup at the buzzer for Reggie Bullock, giving Dwayne Casey the win against the Raptors earlier this season. So how high on the wins list was this game Sunday for you? I want you to let me know. Or what's the biggest win of the season to you? Is it that Toronto win on the road, or is there one of the ones I mentioned? I would imagine that I would have mentioned it if it's your favorite win of the season, but maybe you got some personal connection towards one of them, something that was happening on your life. Maybe you got the big promotion that day at work, and then you followed that up with a Pistons win. So 810-666-1546 is the Google voice number. Again, that's 810-666-1546. What do you think was the best win of the season? But while we're at it, talking Toronto Raptors, hey, you know, as I said on Twitter, I'm just excited to see what Toronto Raptors coach Nick Nurse has up his sleeves for the playoffs. Obviously, we know this guy is such a great coach, an iconic mastermind on the bench, and that's the reason that they got rid of Dwayne Casey for Nick Nurse. Little tongue-in-cheek here. Nick Nurse was toiling as a G League coach before Dwayne Casey brought him to the NBA. And, of course, you got to give the Raptors front office some credit for that, too. And so Casey brings in a great assistant coach. How did that go for Dwayne? What's the thanks he gets for turning that franchise around in the North? Well, he got fired. And why did he get fired? He got fired because he couldn't beat LeBron James in the playoffs. So, I mean, obviously, we all know certainly that Masai Ujiri knows that Nick Nurse has the secret formula for stopping LeBron types. And obviously in the East, that'd be Giannis right now. So I'm excited to see that. I'm excited to see how Nick Nurse single-handedly takes down Giannis Antetokounmpo in these playoffs coming up. But man, I just really didn't understand the firing of Dwayne Casey at that time. I still don't. I mean, you couldn't beat LeBron, so you fire the unanimous coach of the year. I don't know. To me, karma has always been kind of a cruel mistress. So I really feel like in sports, as a front office, you really need to let the coach get themselves fired. That was my argument for keeping, you know, Jim Caldwell for one more year with the Lions. Was a very unpopular opinion at the time, one that I stand by and one that I say the history has been kind to over the past calendar year plus. But again, Casey draws up the game winner for the baseline out of bounds, the blob, as the basketball snobs would say, in the first game, the game winner at the buzzer against his former team. And then Nick Nurse goes with no timeout on the biggest possession of the game in overtime. Kyle Lowry couldn't get it done on the drive, and the Pistons get the win on Sunday night at Little Caesars Arena in overtime. A nice win for the Pistons on a cold, snowy night in downtown Detroit. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? You guys could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked On Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with the sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demographic is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor this podcast. Email me at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Now next, a pre-warning, going to get a little bit preachy about in-game behavior, but only out of love and only from my own experiences as a fan. Many of you are kind of violating a little bit of my rules. So that's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. Apologies in advance if this comes off a little snotty. I want to help you guys. I'm trying to help because I love you guys. I want to make sure that your fan experience is as good as possible. Now, I'm seeing a lot of you guys on Twitter, and I want to pass along a little life advice from an old-timer myself. Only out of love, only because I have been there. Look, the complaining about the referees on Twitter that I see, well, first off, unpopular opinion here, I think the refs were just fine on Sunday. I thought Danny Green deserved the technical foul that he got for complaining about an obvious foul on him around a Blake Griffin screen. I thought Zaza clearly deserved to get tossed. Pretty pedestrian missed call on him. Yes, it was a missed call that he was complaining about, but not a crazy huge missed call that the referees will rue the day they missed that call. Zaza clearly deserved to get tossed after bumping the ref like that. The late foul on Reggie Jackson with Marc Gasol that everyone was going nuts about, Reggie pinned his arm. That's not an accident. Those kind of plays aren't done. It's not a fluke that a little guy who was switched onto a big dude right underneath the basket, whether a dunk could be coming from Gasol if the pass got to him or an offensive rebound could be right for his taking off of another short shot by a teammate. That happens all the time in the NBA. That was not a mistake. And there's a reason that Reggie Jackson got called for that foul. Andre's charge for foul number 5, that was obvious. I didn't have a problem with any of the first half fouls on Andre. The rebound, I'm sorry, that was his 4th foul was the charge. The 5th foul was the rebound, the defensive or the offensive rebound that Drummond was going for off of his own miss with Serge Ibaka. Yes, I agree that Dre got fouled before that on a missed call. But the one replay I saw on the rebound was up top from Fox Sports Detroit. I saw Andre's hand on Ibaka's shoulder, and it's a pretty easy call for the refs to make in that one, too. Again, they missed the original call. It happens. NBA refereeing is difficult. We watch these games. We know that they miss calls every game. It's going to happen the next game. It's going to happen the game after that. You're going to have to get used to it. And George Blaha, I know he was getting into it a little bit, uncharacteristically. Special K was funny. He was breaking down what he thought was a bad missed call on a Luke Kennard travel. And as the replay was being showed in slow motion, it showed that he was clearly wrong about what he was talking about while he was complaining about it. I thought that was kind of a classic bad look, and maybe some of the fans would have saw that he was complaining about something that was clearly not a foul and maybe had a little bit of introspection there and cleaned it up. And again, I'm not trying to look down my nose. I was there. I've been there. I was in Dan Campson's basement during the 2003 Eastern Conference Finals against the Nets. Pistons got swept, I believe. I was just ranting like a lunatic, like my friends, and we were just bitching about the officials all night long. The 2005 NBA Finals, Pistons going for back-to-back. Living in East Lansing at the time for the summer, doing a summer internship at the Lansing State Journal. My then-girlfriend Aubrey's house that we went to watch the finals games. I think me and my friends like actually broke some things at her house that night because we thought the Spurs were getting all the calls. We were being lunatics, just maniacs about how bad the Pistons were getting screwed. It'll drive you crazy. And I think it's kind of one of those maybe teenage, maybe early 20s, maybe even mid-20s things. And you kind of get older, you kind of grow out of that, I hope, I think. That's my experience anyway. Let me tell you, as an older, more experienced fan than probably most of the listeners to this show, I've lived around the country. Every fan base thinks that the fans are out to, or the refs are out to get them. The umps are out to get them. And back when I lived away, like in Missouri, for instance, from an outsider's perspective, those people, the people who are doing those things that you're doing, notably the St. Louis Cardinals fans, as you can imagine, they seemed nuts. They seemed out of their minds. Now that I'm back in Michigan, I'm seeing the same things with you guys. I know that sounds harsh. I don't mean to be. Love the listeners, love the fans, all that good stuff. But I might have to mute a few of you guys during games, and I don't want to have to do that. Just try to worry about the things that you can control. The NBA refs, and we might disagree about how good they are or how bad they are. No one's out to get your team. Things happen throughout the course of games. The league is not out to screw the Detroit Pistons. I promise you that. Just a little public service address from your boy, Matt. I hope you take it in the spirit in which it was intended. Moving on, I'm going to try not to bring this up ever again on the show, just so you know. Also, another thing I want to say, this is more of a positive thing for you guys as we go through this run. And this nice little, 9 of 11 games right now for the Pistons. You know, big pat on the back to the Pistons organization and all you guys for fans for sticking through it. Haven't won anything yet. Haven't even come close to clinching a playoff spot. And we certainly still expect the Pistons to lose in the first round if they do get there into the playoffs. But just saying, for years like this that we might be going through right now, or maybe that upcoming year, for whether it's the Pistons or maybe the Tigers, the Red Wings, maybe even the Lions someday, who knows? I'm just saying, these ascension years that you try to, you come from mediocre or bad to a new level, to a newer level, to a playoff level, whatever it is, maybe championships again someday down the road. I'm just trying to say, enjoy this. Try to enjoy these kinds of times. Because if this Pistons year continues to go well, and who knows, maybe it will, maybe it won't, if they can, you know, have a fun first round series that we get to see that goes long, maybe the distance even, maybe, who knows, maybe even win a first round series somehow and then probably get destroyed in round two if the matchups or maybe the injuries go well for them in round one. I'm telling you, looking back on some of these runs with some of our teams, it never gets better than that first time. And I don't even necessarily mean that first championship of an era, that first surprise run, that first surprise playoff run. If the team gets good, look, year in and year out, like the Pistons used to, like the Red Wings were, like the Tigers were, if the team gets good, we'll always be complaining about something until they win that title. This guy doesn't do this. Chauncey shoots too much. Rip doesn't play enough defense. Tayshaun disappears. I mean, I was there. Ben can't shoot free throws. You know, we went through those things. The coaching rotation drives me crazy. I don't know why Casey's doing this. The damn refs, they're out to get us. Wherever your fandom vice is, whatever you complain about the most, it's going to catch up to you. It's going to catch up to you, I promise. In a good game, you're going to make yourself miserable at times. And I'm telling, obviously, the championship is the ultimate. We know that in Detroit sports. We have been there. Feels like a long time ago, but the championship's the best part. But the second best part is that unexpected run somewhere throughout the era. Even if it's not that far of a run in the playoffs, the good feelings, the surprise, the rebirth of a franchise. I'm thinking about the 2006 Tigers run to the World Series, completely unexpected of a summer. The Pistons beating the Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals in 2004. Now, I know that became a championship season, but even if the Lakers had waxed the floor with the Pistons in that finals series, which we know they didn't, that would have been a nice memory to look back on, just beating the Pacers in that hard-fought 2004 Eastern Conference Finals. How about the Red Wings? Remember back to one of your favorite Red Wings moments of all time, certainly below the Darren McCarty goal in 97, but Steve Yzerman in Game 7 to beat the St. Louis Blues, right? Double, triple overtime, I think. That was the second round, but that was 1996. That's right. The Yzerman game winner in Game 7 was the year before they won the Cup. They didn't win the Cup that year. People forget that, by the way. But that ride in 96 was as good as it gets, even though they lost to the Avs in the Western Conference Finals there. And I know that comparing what we're going through with the Pistons on such a smaller level right now than those big iconic Detroit sports moments of your past or maybe your parents' past, if you're a younger listener. And I know that the hyperbole is big here on this episode, probably laughable. We might listen to this in a couple weeks and be like, what was I thinking about this team in this season? But we're grasping for straws here in Detroit sports, aren't we? And nights like tonight, Monday mornings like this after a big win, it make it all kind of worth it. Not quite yet, but it's getting that way sometimes, right? So enjoy it. Don't let the ancillary things on the outside, 97 won the ticket. Don't let Valeni bring you down today. Today, you're a Pistons fan, you're a Detroit sports fan, and that's a damn good thing to be, even if just for one day. So there it is. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Got some negatives, some positive mixed in there. But go ahead, and when you're in your car, by the way, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons, get you the latest episode in your ear holes as you do your commute, wherever you're driving to, here in Michigan or wherever you are throughout the country. And thanks for spreading the word. Thanks for sharing today's podcast on social media. Really appreciate that. And this is your host, Matt Shook, saying we've got some great stuff coming up the rest of the week. And enjoy your Monday. Keep that head held high. You're a Pistons fan, and you deserve to smile today. So enjoy that. Have a good one, everyone. Talk to you tomorrow.